The Ticket.
Michigan Insider Podcast is brought to you in part by defense attorney and WTKA legal insider Joe Simon. Find Joe at themichigandefenders.com.
And we are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTKA.com. Are you in the market for a new vehicle? Get on board with Brighton Ford. You will qualify lessees out there through the end of May. That's through May 31st. You can lease a 2022 Ford Edge for as low as $287 a month, a 2022 Ford Bronco Sport Big Bend for as low as $324 a month, or a 2022 F-150 for as low as $250 a month, all with only $2,000 down. All you have to do, folks, call 1-800-NEW-FORD or make it out to 8240 West Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan for full details. Then you can get on board with Brighton Ford. Mentioned earlier in the show, as you guys know, I was on the road last week, finished out the week down in the Windy City. As I was there, I was in Chicago from Wednesday through last night, made it over to J.J. McCarthy's camp. Had a first experience on two fronts. First experience at Wrigley. I had never been to Wrigley Field. And there are still those things in sports that even for me, and I imagine it's for you, that can make you feel like a kid again, that can give you that the butterfly in the stomach feeling, the jelly need feeling. Yeah, being in Wrigley was one of those feelings for me. I mean,
there aren't that many venues. Think about it. The games you've covered in football, right? You've been to Notre Dame Stadium, or you've been to Michigan Stadium, obviously a bunch. There are a few of those venues left. I haven't been to a basketball game at Rupp. That probably would be a pretty cool place, right? Allen Fieldhouse. I haven't been to a basketball game there yet. But there, like Augusta was the last time I felt that way. But there are definitely a few places left. We probably shouldn't take it for granted that one of those places is right here down the
right
street.
Right here in the big house, yeah.
Yeah, right here. But definitely the friendly confines, seeing the IV and the whole, like, all, yeah, all
here's
of it.
The thing, man. That is a, it's an amazing, what, I mean, they have done an excellent job of maintaining the charm and the tradition of the place and modernizing it. And it's, I mean, I almost bought a Wrigleyville shirt because I love Wrigleyville. I like it. You know, there used to be
It's a great neighborhood.
There used to be a Michigan bar there called the Diag. Did you know it's closed?
I didn't know it closed.
The Diag's closed, man.
Last time I was at Wrigley, we parked across the street from the Diag.
Yeah, man. Went over there and it's like, for at least, like, you got to be kidding me. And then, like, over on the main drag, there was a bar with a Spartan flag hanging. It's like, you got to be. This is just that part of it wasn't great. But everything
Trust me,
else
there's plenty of Michigan in Chicago.
Yeah, I almost bought a Wrigleyville shirt because you get the, and they, like I said, they've maintained the charm of the place by modernizing it. So we're walking to our seats, and so one of the concourses is you're walking around is at field level, and there's like a window to the bullpen, so you can stand there and watch the pitchers. In the concourse, you can watch them warming up in the bullpen. It's like a super cool thing. And obviously, one of the coolest things is, man, if you own one of the spots across the street from Wrigley, which we can see, you can see it on television, but they got the bleachers on the roof, man, and you can watch the game from. I mean, you got your own, well, you got your parking lots here is what people sell. You got your own rooftop.
It's really
bleachers.
Cool. I remember the last time I went to a game there. So it was not a Cubs game, not when I broadcasted the Michigan Northwestern game, because there was nobody in those bleachers in March for a college baseball game. But yeah, it's really cool. You see all those bleachers set up and you think about how much people have invested and how quickly they probably turn around the return on that investment. You can't get into Wrigley. You can be right next door. Or maybe it's right. A better party. I don't know.
It might be, man.
But I know some places have had issues with Wrigley over the years when Wrigley's done some renovations and they take away some of the views of some of the rooftops. Yeah, the rooftop people get pretty pissed.
Yeah, that's been a thing. I've certainly read about that before. But, you know, being able to have the boys there to have a Wrigley experience, even my wife enjoyed it. It's like, you know, she's not a huge baseball fan, but she certainly enjoyed that. That was super, super, super cool. And a first. Another first, Ira. So, you know, I go to these events and I'm normally the one doing the shooting and the interviewing and the, you know, I am the eye behind the camera. I'm not the one that the shots are being taken of. had an interesting experience along those lines yesterday at J.J. McCarthy's camp. So, you know, walk in, you know, doing interviews, watching prospects, you know, seeing, I didn't even mention earlier in the show, ran into Todd Howard. I ran into Todd Howard because I had been over to Todd's old stomping grounds at Bolingbrook. And, you know, there is a kid at his school that is a guy. He is a dude. Remember the name. Remember the name of Marion Stewart. Not a Marion, like a Marion Walker. A Marion with an I. Marion Stewart is a 6'1", 180-pound athlete from Bolingbrook High School. Corner and receiver. You know, he could be outstanding on either side of the ball. Michigan is just recruiting him as an athlete. They're all over. He's a 2024, so he's a little ways out, of course. But they're talking about him in those parts as the best guy to ever come out of Bolingbrook, which is saying a lot. It's a really, really well-established program in the Chicagoland area. Todd's a Bolingbrook guy. And I say, oh, yeah, you know, and I guess he trained Marion at one point. And I was asking Marion about it. This was early last week or middle of last week. It's like, hey, man, you know, you train with Todd. You ever run any routes on him? He's like, oh, man, that old man can't keep up with me. Why did I tell Todd that? He said, man, line it up. I hurt that kid. He said, I still got a couple reps left in me. And, you know, people forget, man, Todd. Does he still own the PBU record here? Like, for years, he owned the pass breakup record. Did Marlon or someone break it? Someone might have broken it since then. But, you know, a guy who got it done despite being just a couple inches taller than you or I, Ira, he was a heck of a player. He was there as one of the coaches at the camp. Mike Martin was there as one of the coaches at the camp. Several of the current players, Trevor Keegan, you had Zach Zinner, you had Greg Crippen. I don't want to leave anybody out. You had Mozzie Smith. You had Braden McGregor. You had A.J. Henning. You had Andre Anthony, Donovan Edwards. I know I'm leaving people out. Jimmy Rolder.
To give you the answer to your question, Sam, in the all-time career pass breakups list, number one on the list, this is through going into last season, so not updated including 2021. Jordan Lewis with 45,
JD.
Leon Hall with 43, Todd Howard with 41, and then Marlon Jackson with 34.
Okay.
So there he's still on that list, but the recent passing, obviously, with Jordan Lewis jumped over him and Leon on his heels.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, Todd is still a highly regarded trainer down there. Getting in was really, really impactful with the kids. At any rate, making the rounds, talking to all those different guys. I wound up toward the middle of the camp. Jim McCarthy comes over and Jim says, hey, Charles is on his way. And I said, that's right. Charles is going to be at the camp. They hadn't released that information because they were holding it as a surprise to the campers. And I believe to most of, if not all of the players. I'm talking about the current players. I don't think they knew. Can double check to be sure. I don't think they knew. At any rate, he says, yeah, Charles, come on. That's right. So I'm getting ready. He said, yeah, you're going to introduce him. I was like, what? What, Jim? He said, yeah, you're going to introduce him. He said, no, you know him. Yeah, you can introduce him. So they wanted like a, you know, you wanted like a buildup to a Hall of Famer being in the building. I said, all right, I could do that. I can do that. No problem. So, but I'm doing some interviews and talking to different people. I'm talking to AJ. At this point, A.J. Henning, and Jim comes over like, he said he'll be here in 5 minutes. He comes over like a minute later and grabs me and pulls me to the front. It's like, we have a special guest. It's like, man, I, you know, thought there'd be more build-up time, right? So I hand my camera off. Now, Ira, if I wasn't in a rush, I would have had my bag there to be able to put my camera in. I mean, Ira, this is, like I said earlier in the show, this is a mortgage payment and then some. You know, the camera's a mortgage payment. The lens on top of it is a mortgage payment. You put them together, it's a couple mortgage payments. So, but I just hand the camera off. I just hand the camera off to AJ Henning. Not thinking at that point that I'm putting two mortgage payments in this kid. I need to be more conscious of what I'm doing. But he said, hey, need you to come introduce Charles. And as he pulled me to the front, Charles is walking onto the field. So I go into my thing, introducing Charles, you know, 95. He comes in, decorated guy out of Ohio. You know, Lloyd says, who does not heap praise on a lot of freshmen. See, I knew that dude was going to be special when I'm looking for my All-American receiver. And Charles Woodson has him on the ground, rolling around with him. Say, I might be a freshman, but you're not going to come in here punking me. Right? And we get into later in the season. Another receiver thought he was going to punk Charles. His name was Terry Glenn, and he got punked. And Michigan goes on to 8-4, 8-4, and the M in Michigan stands for mediocre. And what are we going to do about it? What's our team motto? Number two said, just win. All right, so we have a whole couple-minute buildup, right? And it was good to see Charles, and like, man, that what he got ready to do, it. He did his thing. I was like, man, damn, I'm supposed to be shooting this, right? I didn't get any pictures of the beginning of Charles. Didn't have the camera rolling at the beginning of Charles because I was introducing him. So I go get the camera, bring it around, record the last part of him addressing the camp. But I didn't, and I got maybe a few shots, right? So I'm like, man, hey, you know, it is what it is. Cost of doing business, right? So get back late last night. I was like, I'm going to try to get some audio together for the show. This is like 1:30 in the morning, man. I'm fried. It's been a long week. We had a long drive back. We will have some audio throughout the week. Certainly, we'll have a ton of content from it over on themichiganinsider.com, so be sure to check that out. And I'm going through my pictures, and I see a whole series of shots when I was up there introducing Charles. So AJ Henning has taken the camera and gone full photog, Ira. He's snapping shots, and I'll be damned if the dude didn't snap some good pictures, Ira. He snapped some good pictures. Like, man, you know what? And you heard him do the Gus Johnson impersonation a couple of months ago, back when they were down in Miami for the Orange Bowl. The dude has a future in media, Mr. Weintraub. That guy has it going on.
And Sam, I gotta say, I'm feeling pretty confident about ball security for, if he can hold on to two mortgage payments, I'm pretty confident on his ball security.
Yeah, man. Yeah. He's, obviously been covering him since high school, and his role, we talked about it in spring ball. I mean, they're talking about a lot of Deebo Samuel type of usage, meaning, so what more does that mean for him carrying the football? Like, we didn't see it in the spring game, and not carrying the football and just like jet sweep or reverses, like lining up in the backfield and carrying it. Cause you know, talking to his dad, he said, hey man, he could, that was his position. He was a running back, and they, you know, saw that he had that 4.4 speed, and they decided, hey, we probably would do better to split him out. You know, to get him in space a lot more often, still handing it off to him from time to time. And I sort of see Michigan kind of seeing it the same way. We got to figure out ways to get him more touches. And that's what guys were talking about as far as what would be different about this offense. Andrell said more shots for sure. They definitely see some more shots in there. And then there's more opportunities for the playmakers in space. You know, getting them more touches somehow, some way, the array of playmakers. So more downfield, more shots. And then whether it's AJ or Andrell or Donovan, you know, how do you isolate those guys more often and just give them touches, give them a chance to make some magic happen? And so that'll be one of the more interesting things, is how do you make sure everybody eats? How do you make sure everyone eats? That would be one of the biggest charges for this new offensive brain trust, now that you have more established weapons than you had at this time last year. How do you utilize all of them consistently? Will be one of the more interesting things, in addition to the most obvious question mark, and that's how does the quarterback scenario play out? And pleased to report that J.J. McCarthy just continues to look better and better. Told you after the spring game. I know no one talked about him in the post-spring game press conference, but that he was coming along great, that they were about to up his throwing regimen. That's exactly what Jim reported a couple of weeks later, that they were indeed upping his throwing regimen at that time, as prescribed by, I mean, a series of people. He said he went to see some top doctors in the NFL about his shoulder because he was obviously experiencing some soreness and pain. Discomfort is a better way to put it, some discomfort. And so how do you prevent this from being an issue that lingers to the into the season? You don't want to cut on your shoulder, cut on your body if you don't have to, right? Every doctor told them, now you don't need to do that. There are some things you can do mechanics-wise and you know, stretching wise to fix this. And the best and biggest voice on that was Tom Houston. And you could tell the look on his face, Ira, like he knew the gravity of who it was he's or who it is he's working with. Like, man, this is the dude who is telling me this is, I got to do X, Y, and Z to get my shoulder ready. And he's like, man, I have no pain, I have no discomfort. And so he said the toughest thing for him, and you'll see this in the interview, he said the toughest thing for me was to understand that, you know, working super hard sometimes is counterproductive.
It can be bad, right?
It can be bad. Like, you know, you can overwork yourself. So, you know, getting my mind right to know that I, like, you can't be out throwing, you know, morning, noon, and night. Like, you can't do that and expect your shoulder to stay healthy. You got to be more judicious. Like, work hard, but work smart.
That's a very valuable lesson to learn early that not everybody learns, because overuse injuries are very commonplace. And he should treat himself, especially in the offseason, he should treat himself like a pitcher and put himself on a pitch count every day, right? And maybe there's certain days that are rest days, but you have a pitch count. Do not go over that pitch count. There are a lot of other things he can do to get ready for the season in addition to throwing the football, right? So I'm assuming that's part of what Tom House, I almost called him Dr. House. You might as well, right? But I'm assuming that's part of what Tom House talks about. It's form, so I'm sure there's a little tweaking in how you do things. Then there's obviously the management of it, so workouts and other things. And then, yeah, being on a pitch count during certain times of the year, because you have to rest, recover, and start over. You don't just keep going. You can. That's why I've talked to Jim about this plenty of times, not about, you know, JJ in particular, but why do coaches love multi-sport athletes growing up when they go through high school? Because if you specialize in only one sport, then you're only using one sport set of muscles, and you can overtrain on those, and you can put yourself in a real physical detriment. But if you play football and basketball and baseball and run track, you're doing all kinds of different workouts that train all different things at different kinds of times of the year, so you're not overstraining one thing, like if a baseball pitcher throws every day all the time. Right, or quarterback.
Yeah, and he said, so that was a valuable, but he said another valuable lesson. He said, I used to just come out and throw. He said, now he has like a half-hour routine.
Yeah, throw with
warm-up
purpose.
Routine, yeah.
Yeah, do it with purpose and the routine. Yeah,
yeah, he has a warm-up routine that, before he throws, like I'm trying to, like, to loosen up.
It's no different than going out to the driving range, right? You can't just go out to the driving range and grab your driver and say, I'm going to start smacking the ball around. You've got to stretch and loosen up and start with slower, you know, light shots and then half swings and then full swings on smaller clubs and work your way up. Otherwise, he's going to put himself in back, because all that great work reverses itself if you don't listen to that part.
Yeah, man. And so more than anything, it just was confirmation of how I was feeling about this is going to be a hell of a competition. Like, he's going to be ready. I knew he was felt like he was going to be ready before, but like he is going to be ready. This is going to be a hell of a competition.
And by the way, Sam, on Thursday, you know what we do?
What do we do?
The countdown to the Michigan football season.
Yeah, man, it's going to be exciting. I think that both guys are going to raise the other's level of play. I said earlier in the show that I didn't say this to JJ or anyone at the camp. I think the odds of him being able to win the job before the season aren't as high as they are of him winning the job a few games into it. Like, I think because I think that's how long the competition will take, is my point. I think, you know, it's hard to knock off an incumbent that's a champ, that's a champion, before games are played. I think it'll take, if it happens, I think it'll be after a few games. So we'll see. Makes for an exciting season, right? An exciting build-up to the season. Exciting start to the season. Exciting season overall. That'll do it for us here today, folks. We'll be back tomorrow. You know, Eric Backich, Townie Top 3, Eric Adelson, Recruiting Roundup. You know how we do Tuesdays. We'll see you then here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050, WTKA The Ticket, the official voice of University of Michigan Sports, Ann Arbor, a Cumulus station.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.